Welcome to Conversations with Ask Ash. Conversations with Ask Ash focuses on people, processes, and outcomes. Ashley dives into everyday conversations around work efficiency, team productivity, and project execution. Let's get into the show. And now, your host, Ashley Schuler.
What's happening, everyone? And welcome back to another episode of Conversations with Ask Ash. This is the Bree Carroll episode, and I am so excited for you to tune into this episode. I met Bree at an event, and I was seeing her just go around and make sure that the host was okay, go and make sure that the attendees were good. She was collaborating, she was laughing. And I said, my goodness, I've never seen someone just go and flow like this. So I wanted to know, what makes Bree tick? What's behind this award-winning agency? And so you're gonna get to know Bree, military wife, mom, advocate, and she is just a totally dope person. And we're going to get her story behind how she got into events. So tune in and make sure you connect with Bree. And here we go. Back to another episode. We'll talk soon. And welcome to another edition of Conversations with Ask Ash. We are in the Built From Scratch series. And if you've been listening, maybe you just hopped in. I mean, that's okay because I don't want you to go anywhere. But here's what we're doing. We're talking all things, how do we build these programs, these projects, these initiatives, these big things where it starts off with it as an idea, and then it just starts to gain momentum. And boom, you have something. And so this series has been fantastic because we've been picking apart what are the strategies and how do you do it. And then I brought on some really cool people to talk about their own experiences, their built from scratch moments. And listen, I'm very excited today because we got somebody here that really has, I've seen it in person, a gifting in terms of many different things when it comes to the event space. But I want to tell you something. This is not just solely about let's put together a great event, because there's going to be some good pro tips. But this is all about the heart and the soul and the strategy behind the company, but also the person. So without further ado, I need some little, those little sound effects. I got to invest in that. Okay. I need the hand claps to go around for my guest, Bree Carroll. Bree, how are you?
Yes, Ashley. Thank you. Look, let me be my own crowd.
Exactly.
You got to hype yourself up, girl, sometimes. Let me tell you. Thank you so much, Ashley. I'm excited to be a part of this conversation and a part of this series about building. There's so many different things we can talk about, but I hope that your listeners can just hear my heart, be encouraged about whatever it is that they are building personally and professionally, because they both have to complement one another and be in harmony with one another. So I'm really excited for our discussion today.
Oh man, this is good. And you know, before we kind of get into all the good stuff, I do want to know who you are in this season. We're stripping back titles. We're just going into the core, into the season that you're in right now. Who do you say that you are?
Yeah, so without all of the titles from career aspects, I'm a woman who has three little people, who has a husband who is figuring it out, really. Like, I am leaning into the messy part of life and the lessons learned that come from being really ambitious, or leaning into not being afraid to do hard things. And I'm seeing what it looks like in the harmony. I like to use harmony as opposed to balance, but the harmony that is necessary to figure it out. And that gets messy. That looks like, you know, knowing that and having a conviction to do something and create something great, but maybe realize that the pace that you're going is maybe outpacing the other things that are really significant and important to you. So that is who I am. That is what this season looks like for me. And it's being okay with rolling up my sleeves getting messy, getting dirty, reimagining some things, looking at strategy that applies to me that might look, it might look great for some other people to do other strategies, but knowing the strategy that I lean into for my life is specific for me, and it's okay if it looks different.
That is pretty powerful in terms of you embracing this aspect of, I don't have a blueprint. I'm really just looking at,
yes,
you know, what's in front of me, and then navigating one foot in front of the other. But, you know, here's what I'm wondering too. Now, because that's really insightful. When you saw yourself in this stage of, you know, you're figuring all the things out, but also within your many lenses as a, you know, a business owner and whatnot, where did you see yourself? Did you have your life mapped out? Were you one of those kids or young people that were like, I got the plans? Like, like, was that your frame? No, it was not,
Ashley. And let's take it all the way back. So as a young child, I was one of those kids, and now I feel like I'm circling full circle moment on this lesson, but I was a kid that was all about the ands. Like, I was going to be a dancer and an engineer and a fashion designer and a talk show host and all of these other things, right? Like, so I loved all the ands. And I think growing up, my role model or somebody that I really looked up to was Dr. Mae Jemison. For those who are not familiar, mm-hmm. she's the first African-American woman to go into space. So that kind of like sparked my STEM bug. And I, from that, I did run towards a career in engineering, specifically civil engineering. And I had the honor of doing that with the Air Force for over 11 years. But I, even at this point of entrepreneurship, like this was something that even my spouse and I had to talk about recently. Like, we kind of got blindsided with this thing, because even though my experience from that started, or the taste that I got from it started when I was younger, my mom was a teacher. She was a florist part-time. So I would be her little helping hands at different events. And I said, you know what? That will be my retirement job. I would love to do events like in my retirement. Like, that would be cool, right? And it didn't dawn on me until I hit some of those brick walls and being looked over for promotions, or because I'm a military spouse, we have to pick up and leave assignments, which means I'm starting over with any organization, you know, and that's never fun for someone who you know, always strives for excellence and to keep climbing that ladder, right? And I just got really frustrated. So for my birthday, 1 year, I gifted myself my retirement job early. And that's how I dipped my toe into entrepreneurship, completely starting off running it like a hobby. But then when the opportunity came and there was a gap in me doing engineering work and project management work more specifically, when there was that gap and I looked back and I was like, hey, I actually have like a couple of big clients over here on this event side. Let's just try and see what this looks like doing it full time. That's how I arrived at this point. And I really like to say, with everything that I do, from a entrepreneurial venture, from being a founder of Military Marriage Day in the way that I advocate over for my military families over there. Listen, I'm just out here following the breadcrumbs and trying to utilize my giftings in the best way that I can. And yeah, so no, I was not the child that like, I got this thing figured out. I was the child that was like, I want to do it all. And I think I'm being blessed and graced with the opportunity of actually being able to maybe do all the things that as a child I said that I wanted to do.
That is truly amazing. Just, I love how you kind of, you walked us through this aspect of like, of being able to, you know, see from your parents, right? You know, you were your mom's helper, which I love. You know, and listen, yeah. The moms, you know, they're the true event planners at the core. But you know, that's how they roll. But then this aspect of civil engineering came up. Now, what was your thought process in that? Was that, okay, you know, I was good at, you know, the math, the sciences. I, you know, like you said, you had your your who you looked up to. Was that the core motivation of just pursuing that path?
Yeah, I think I have always been fascinated with math and science. It just came naturally to me. And it was because as I went through school, from elementary to high school, I like to say that I made a pivotal decision. I was going to follow a path of arts and pursue dance. I had several years of modern dance and played piano. So there's this artistic and creative side to me, or follow this desire of like, hey, I could be an engineer. So for me, the reason why I love the title, the role, the responsibility that comes with engineering is because at its core, it is a problem solver. That is what engineers are for me. And that's what I was really drawn through, looking through history, how you had a group of intellectuals who got together and figured out how can we get water to a source in a particular area? How can we make improvements in our communities so that it benefited the quality of life of others? Like, that's really the heart of why engineering really appealed to me. It was this human side that I could be a part of making others' lives better and being a problem solver, which I naturally am. That's really what I leaned into. And I got the opportunity and made the decision to do a high school that was, I would like to say, it was like a pilot program with NASA. So in my high school, it was a STEM high school, it was an academy. And then sophomore year, we had this opportunity to go to space camp. So like, there we go, right? Wow. So I get to live my astronaut dreams, if you will, via space camp. But it just opened up this world to me that I did not know was available to me, because I mean, I grew up in Paterson, New Jersey, inner city kid, really bright, thankful to have parents that kept me involved in softball and track and Girl Scouts and all the things. And I think it's from those collective experiences and having that exposure that I was like, hey, engineering and project management is a true option for me. I do like to say that I'm not sure you're a traditional engineer, or maybe the stereotype of what people think when they think of engineers. Like, I am definitely not your number crunching, plan producing engineer. I'm definitely someone who likes to talk with the stakeholders. I manage the projects. I like to, for lack of a better way to say it, dumb down advanced concepts so that people can buy into why different decisions are the right decisions or solutions for a problem. Like, that is me at my core. And I'm just grateful for the exposure that I had that led me down the path of engineering.
You know, there's two things from what you just said that really captivated me, which was, you know, breaking down what engineering from your perspective is at its core, because you're talking about building solutions for the community, number one, right? Yes. And then this aspect of you getting in the mix of stakeholders, making sure that they understand what's going on. Now here's what I'm fascinated by. As you're, you know, working in this field, then how does one then leave that field? And then, you know, because you're building your career, did you enjoy doing what you're doing?
I definitely think I enjoyed it, but I did enjoy it. I will say I didn't necessarily leave the career. I feel like the Air Force just had other plans. So the reason why I made the step, or I should say it this way, Ashley, I didn't know I had made the step to be a full-time entrepreneur until maybe like 3 months into me not working an engineering job, right? Because my expectation with a new move, right? We got orders. My husband got orders because he's still active duty Air Force. Shout out to my honey, right? And we were asked to move. So as I was playing the waiting game, and for everyone who is a GS employee, you know how this goes. It takes about 6 months, 3 to 6 months, to get onboarded into a new position if the position is available. So I did my usual thing of, hey, we're going to move. I let the receiving installation know that I was coming. I applied for positions, but then it was like a hurry up and wait. Right. I was just sitting, but I was not sitting idle because I had my side business. I was working that. So once you know, 6 months down the line, I'm looking at honey like, hey, I've been working this business. I have these bigger contracts for events. How do you feel about me continuing to do this full time? And it was a hard conversation that we had, and one that we still kind of revisit from time and time again, of like, hey, you know, was that the best way to just jump into this thing? And let me caveat this too, Ashley, because maybe this is something else that your listeners can benefit from as we talk about building. The reason why we were able to have that conversation is because we had done some work building a foundation of our finances, and we were in a position where we were personally debt-free with the exception of a mortgage, and we had a renter for that. So the reason why we were able to kind of have that discussion in the first place was because we had built up a safety net, if you will, with our finances. And my husband, if the business did great or did not, we could live on a single income. So it gave me the freedom, and I'm grateful for that, and having a partner who was willing to like test the waters in this area. But we built that up before we just jumped out. So I like to say I was like at home working my business full time before it had ever really sunk in, like, hey, I'm really out here doing this full time.
Wow. Wow. And I'm so glad that you brought up that point, because I was wondering how you, you know, career wise, you are, you know, working, building, growing, and then you start to, because I do want to go backtrack a little bit. How did you gain your first client as you're building the business? How did that come about?
So it was really a step of faith. And I would also say it had a lot to do with the network, right? Mm-hmm. It had a lot to do with being in circles, putting myself in the right rooms. And I don't want to say the right rooms, because that makes it seem like very like exclusive. It's not. Let me just tell you, anything that you are building, you'll be led to the people, and the people that you need to work with will be led to you. You just have to be willing to look. And because I also don't like this gatekeeping,
that's right,
like you have to be in certain circles for things and people to be successful. Like that's not
that's right.
the case. You can look in your community. Mm-hmm. You can link up with the SBA. You could like start local before you try to get all global and stuff. I made that mistake. I was so busy trying to seriously look, Ashley, we're going to keep it real here, right? Like I was busy looking at like, build the empire, right? How can I make this an empire? And I was skipping a lot of the steps of like, how do I build right where I'm at? Because for me as a military spouse, the limiting belief that I had was I couldn't just rely on local sources if my location continues to change, right? So that was a limiting belief that I had. But the reality is I was missing out on opportunities and people that maybe didn't cost as much. And by all means, I love to invest in masterminds. I love to invest in coaching. And I also understand that at different seasons, I may be invested before I got a little too big for my britches, Ashley. Like I may be invested a little prematurely than the stage that my business was in. But I will say there was benefit to that, right? I have relationships now that I'm so grateful for making those decisions. And I think it all worked together to where I was able to get in community with the right people. And I think the right people saw my heart. And understood what I did, because it's more than just events, right? For me, it's being able to care for a community.
That's right.
To bring about an experience and for people to have transformation in the room, because just like engineering, I want to help solve the problem so that people could leave change and then our communities can be impacted. That's what was important to me as it relates to engineering. And that's the same thing that's important to me as it relates to events.
Now you said something profound, because this matches something I've been saying a lot that's resonated with me. You know, building from scratch, or you can even replace it with building a vision, right, takes faith, time, and commitment.
Yes.
And so I feel like what I'm hearing from you is that, you know, you understood even at the beginning stages, right? You're like, okay, I'm gonna hop out here, right? But you were also, and correct me if I'm wrong, you probably weren't as discouraged as you maybe you went straight to the moon.
Yeah.
And then you maybe, and then you had to have some experiences to say, okay, well, here's how I need to do it. Let me just take a few steps back. I don't have to go veer too far to the left, but I can just go and look what's right within my reach.
Yes.
And then go ahead and start there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's good. That's good.
But it's not, it's something, it's so simple, but I think a lot of people miss that, Ashley. And I think we get this idea in our mind that it has to, like, we have to be on these levels of these big players, whatever big is for you, right? You see these people who have built this thing that you aspire, or a level that you aspire to be at. And you feel like that is how I put my stake in the ground. Like, that's how I want my thing to function and be. And the reality is that may be your calling. And I appreciate that if it is, but everybody's won't look the same. And I think, Ashley, another big thing we need to look at when we're not looking at these smaller opportunities, right? I also think we have to be sensitive to what works for us, right? Because like I said, I'm a mom of three. I'm a spouse of someone who is still active duty, that if everything in the world goes to crap tomorrow, he may get a call that I'm not going to be very excited about. So I have to structure the things that I do, the decisions that I make, differently than someone else who may have the freedom and the luxury to just like get cute and hop on lives all the time, or just fly across the country and show up to do all these things. Like, that's not my life.
Sure.
And I don't want that, right? I want something that, and I want to build a business and build a life that is fulfilling in all different areas that I know I am still, you know, operating as a woman of faith, and my primary ministry is my family. Like, I want to lay my head down at night and know that I did a good job there.
Yes.
Before I did a good job in any other place. And I think we look at other people and we forget that.
And you're absolutely right, because, you know, some of the other conversations in the previous episodes has been this aspect of how do I find this rhythm?
Yes.
And it's been at times not balanced,
yes,
you know, where it is you're either all in on certain aspects of the business and then you're neglecting health and you're neglecting your family. And so there's been moments where there's been a recalibration to be able to say, no, I need to set some boundaries. So I'm wondering for you, in going back into your story of, you know, you're starting up, you're getting your first clients, or you're networking, how are you setting the boundaries, right? Family's the first ministry, you know, you have career, but then also this aspect is taking off. The business is like growing. So what were your boundaries? Did you set boundaries early on?
Yeah. So I will say I set some boundaries. I was very lax. Let me tell you, I was very lax, because I think early on, when you get a taste of success and like, oh, people want to hire me, people want to work with me, I think the boundary that I didn't set was, I think I cared, or let me say it this way. I treated my business and romanticized my business and the relationships within them, and I didn't treat it like business, right? So that was a boundary that I needed to set based off of having confidence in myself and the work that I'm able to produce, right? I didn't operate like a business. I cared a lot. And because at the time I was working with a lot of prominent people in the personal development space, I cared about the message that they were putting out. I saw and believed in the transformation, and I had a heart to care for their communities through these events and these experiences. However, one of the boundaries that I recently had to put up in place is like, Bree, you can love that person all day long, you can want to serve the community, but business has to be business, right? It all has to make sense. You cannot expend yourself, overextend yourself and you know, blur the lines of this and relax these deadlines, right? and you're not able to be as effective in what you are doing, or maybe the individual is not listening to the expertise and the strategy that you are bringing to the table. And because you hold them at such high regard, you don't push back, you don't hold the line, or you don't just say, you know what, it sounds like we're no longer a fit if you're not willing to go through and walk through these methods that I've outlined. And I think that is just business. So the boundary that I think was missing that is now established, right, is that it has to be business. And I think that because it wasn't from an angle and from a lens of like, this is business, I think that is where I felt some of those negative pains in my personal, because I have a spouse who's looking at me like, what do you mean this is late? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're spending all these hours and you're not getting compensated, or, you know, you don't feel good about the, or you're stressed about what somebody thinks about you? Like, that wasn't the reason why you went into this thing. So I think the boundary really that needed to be set is with anything that we're doing, we have to ensure that if it's business, let it be business. If you hold that boundary, you will be able to better show up in excellence and build a sustainable business. And I think that is the lesson that I had to learn. But it came a little bit later. I wish someone would have told me. So listen, I'm here coming back, letting you know that that is something that you absolutely want to do in your career and in your business, to hold that boundary and make sure that you keep business so that it doesn't impact your personal.
Yeah, I mean, that is phenomenal to know that and to realize that. And like you said, everyone has had a story like that. And I think what's really key is that, like, you went to the, I wanted to be like the dancer, and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you can have a both and, which is you can be very empathetic and very kind, but also I am about my business and we have deadlines. So there's a both and, you know, and it doesn't mean that there is, and I'll scratch that, I'll put a little caveat to it, because I do believe that there is something to be said about order. Yes. And how order really equates to peace.
Right.
And really being able to create that environment. That's just what I've seen. And so I think we live in a day and age where, especially since the pandemic and coming post-pandemic culture, I still believe that we're in an overhaul of, like, of our systems, our processes, our order, and how,
yes,
do we go about doing things. And I think a lot of that comes from undoing years and years of, I just did my own thing, or we've always done it this way. And some of that is that emotional intelligence,
yeah,
matched with, here's the technical piece that we can match with that. But I think you're absolutely right to be able to say, we got to stay on course with whatever the framework, whatever the thing is. And I love that. Something else I want to dive into, because when you started to go, like, making a decision to go full time into,
yeah,
this, what are some of the beginning stages of, because you said you were networking and, you know, having clients, but also putting yourself out there in terms of this is the thing. What was that road like?
Yeah, I think putting yourself out there for me, that looked like just being really uncomfortable. Or I should say getting comfortable with being really uncomfortable, because I'll be honest, I was very passive for a long time, and was fortunate to have word of mouth and referrals and that type of thing. But in joining a mastermind, I realized that I was hiding. Right. So for me, that looked like being visible.
Wow.
That looked like telling people what I had to offer, standing on the evidence and the experiences that I had produced. That looked like asking people that I'd worked with for referrals and for testimonials, like the boring stuff. And I think we don't lean into the boring stuff. We don't lean into emailing the people who are on our list. Like, it was hilarious. It's like, I had a big email list and I literally did not talk to them, Ashley. Like, it was those little things. And I think foundationally,
oh no,
as we are building, we can get, and for those who are like me, like I'll raise my hand and I'll go first and I'll share. But like, we get really excited about doing the work, right? We get really excited about seeing the transformation in the room and like ensuring that everyone is cared for. But the reality is we have to care for ourselves and we have to care for our business. And that looks like promoting your business. You have to be your own biggest fan. I love to say that I bring hype girl energy anywhere that I go. And what I realized as I would say that is that I'm everybody else's hype girl. Like I'm whoever my thought leader is, who I am ordering,
right,
and you know, organizing and coordinating and producing their event in the background. Like I am their hype girl for real. Like the people in the room who are like, I'm not sure if I can do this. I'm here by myself, girl. I got you. Like you will not be alone. Even if you need to find me in the corner, I got you. I am everybody's hype woman. But as it related to my business, as it related to mindset work that I needed to do, as it related to the counseling that I needed to tap into, as it related to being intentional about the friendships and my biz besties and the circles of people that I needed to have or the questions that I needed to ask because you don't know what you don't know. I needed to be a bigger hype girl for myself. And that was something that I learned as I started to lay the foundation of like putting myself out there and establishing a business. So it takes both.
What's happening, everyone? I hope that you are enjoying the Built From Scratch season. I love that we're unpacking this topic. What does it mean to build a program, project, an initiative, and sometimes your life from scratch? And did you know that there are three reasons typically why projects fail? Number one, poor planning. Number two, unclear goals. And number three, miscommunication. So what do we do about this? We build better workflows. Yes, we build better workflows. And in fact, I have a service that will just address this, the ClickUp and Project Management VIP Day. I'm excited about this because I get to partner with you for one day to set up workflows that are going to help you plan better projects, execute efficiently, and be able to do away with miscommunication with your team members. Oh yes, you're going to have a peace of mind. Sounds like a dream? Well, it can be your dream. So be sure to apply for the ClickUp and Project Management VIP Day. All the information is in the show notes. Back to the episode.
And that, you know, let me tell you something. I mean, that's just the truth, right? I mean, yeah. That's just really the truth because it's the belief in self that gets into the foundation of what you're looking to build. So whether it is going for the certification, you're, you know, going to try out for something, whatever it is, but in your case, I identify with you can be the cheerleader, but then when it comes back to going, whether it is, I'm going to apply for this. Oh, I'm going to go and yes, put a RFP and whatever the case yes is, then you start to think, well, maybe not this time, you know?
Yeah.
You know, actually, I think that's right. Real, but I think like you said, yeah.
You're so right because I had to look at that.
It's so
when it
real
came
because
grants too. Yeah. So I put in for several grants. I had mm-hmm to have belief in my business enough to apply for these things to be able to articulate the solution that I provide and how it impacts the community. And I was fortunate enough to be awarded two grants. Well, that's exactly what you're talking about. I had to do some of that mindset work before I was ready, right, to even be able to position myself
right
for funding opportunities. So it's a both and. You definitely have to work on that mindset so that you are in a position to apply and put in for those RFPs and those grants and those other opportunities that are there available for you, but you have to take the step towards it.
That's right. And that's right. And I think this other point also ties into belief because we touched on it back. And I see the similarities between the civil engineering piece and how this is about building something for the community, this aspect of you working with your stakeholders. And I see that direct connection into the events space.
Yes.
And so but it's more than, you know, I'm just going to put on an event. Let me get some flowers and, you know, put a table together. But like, you know, you are a strategist. You know, you have a vision, you know, those types of things. So walk me through sort of in terms of the way in which you wanted to see your business flourish and set apart from the rest, what were some of these core elements, the thoughts that you had, you know, when it came to you, when it came to your business in the event space?
I love this question because Be Carol Events actually started in weddings, and I knew that it was my time to bow out gracefully from weddings when I cared more about if my clients would be together than their linen colors, right? So as I was investing in myself with personal development, I was in these peer groups, and people were like, Bree, you know events. Can you help me with these events? And I realized very quickly, like, I'm not just a regular event planner. Like, I care about the strategy. I care about your profit margin. I care about the logistics. And the way that, the simplest way that I say it is, I look beyond the pretty. Like, yes, you are going to have an amazing event, but I care more about the transformation. And I think that's what was really important for us to be set apart as an events agency, because it was more than just like the details that people may not remember. I love the quote by Dr. Maya Angelou, and how she talks about how people don't remember what you tell them. They remember how you make them feel. Like, that is the heart of Be Carol Events. Right. And that's what was really important to us, to couple the strategy with the impact that we really want to do. And in this season, the way I'm leaning into that more is all things EPIC. And for us, EPIC is an acronym, that means experiences with purpose, impact, and community. At its core, I want you to have an EPIC event, because it needs all of these components so that you can really flourish in the impact that you're trying to make and in the transformation that you're trying to bring about to other people. And then on the personal side, all things EPIC looks like, how do we incorporate that so that when we leave these rooms, we can still create and intentionally create for ourselves experiences with purpose, impact, and community? Because I feel like there was a missing link, if you will, for people outside of these rooms. Like, how, now what? Like, I've gotten this transformation, I'm on a high, now what do I need to do? So we're taking that philosophy that we utilize in the business, and we're also sharing it with people through the podcast, All Things EPIC.
Man, I mean, okay, we're gonna break a couple things down, because what you said was so profound in the sense of going beyond the pretty. Let's talk about that, going beyond the pretty, because, you know, when we talk about this behind the scenes building work, there is a fascination. And I know I had it in a sense of like, what does it all look like?
Yeah.
You like, you know, in terms of appearance in all the things. And I would even say, let's just take the podcast for a minute. My own journey is I stopped thinking about how can I have, you know, whether it is the correct artwork, the right show notes, like having to be all in of all things. Not to say that, listen, all those aspects are very important, but I had to slow it all down because I had to go and say, well, girlfriend, what are you saying? Ashley, what are you saying outside of, because you can have nice artwork and have someone write something up in the show notes, but what are you saying? So when you talk with clients about going beyond the pretty, for what you can tell us, you know, how do you set that conversation up?
Yeah, it really is a conversation about trust, because I think oftentimes in the way that I like to talk about it in a presentation that I give called The Power of Events, I feel like people are out here rubbernecking. For real. It's like you see something pretty on the side of the road, or a wreck on the side of the road, and you too busy looking at what somebody else got going on, and you're not paying attention to what you got in your lane, right? And oftentimes we have that trust conversation of like, hey, if you are bringing me on to come alongside your team, I need you to trust that the strategy that we're building and tailoring for you is a fit for you, that you can show up authentically. And you know what, sis? If your budget does not support you having high-tech screens everywhere and huge floral centerpieces, that your message is the thing that people are coming for, that you are enough and we are supporting you so that you can show up in your genius and what you have to say be enough to fill the room and have people leave from the room. That's the conversation, because at the core, people want to Instagram, you know, people want an Instagrammable thing to make themselves feel good in the moment. But how much more powerful is it to have testimonials and people to come after you afterwards to say, like, you changed my life, what you did? No, this room is not like the most luxury room and it's not glamorous. And but I am going to look back at this moment as this is when everything changes. That moves me way more than your fonts, than your colors, than some linen. Like, that moves me way more. And I think that is what I want more people so to good. Get tapped into.
No, that is really good, because and what you said about trust is so important. You know, trusting the people that you are bringing in to partner with you, to put on the event, right? Yes. And you getting to the core of what is it that you're producing? Why is it important? Because yes. I just had this connection. Because when you get up on that stage and you put it on, the people have to be able to understand your why. They have to also be able to trust yes. you in the room, regardless if it's a free event or you have it's paid or you have a big offer or whatever the case is. The trust has to come through yes. From the minute that they hit the door to whatever the event is going on. Now, this is something really interesting that you said, because I think, and I'm a huge fan of the event pros. I'm actually in this group as one of the non-event planners in the Blackson Events group.
Yeah.
Which is one of my friends invited me, which I love it because I get to learn from you all.
Well, you're but a host, so of course.
The budget piece is so key. I should. But here's the thing about the budget piece, okay? Because I think this is a good opportunity to hone in those that are event pros, those that are PMs in events, yes. and also the visionaries behind all this. Let's talk about the monies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because we see a lot, because I just think we are in an era where, and it's the event space is taking off more than ever.
Yes.
Technology, yep. all the things are happening. How setting and managing expectations with money. Let's talk about how we walk people through that, Bree. How are we walking
yeah.
through?
That's good.
The Ritz Cracker experience versus the Ritz Carlton experience. How do we help the people?
I love Ritz Cracker versus Ritz Carlton. I love that. I'm going to have to use that. And I'm gonna say Ashley said it. Don't come for me. Ashley said it. So I think it really talks to, I need to start and establish trust with whoever I'm working with. And we have to be able to have honest conversations and peel back the curtain of what is their current financial situation in their business? Is this event? And what are their goals and objectives? So just like engineering and just like project management work, before you can start building a thing, I need to know what is the function of the thing that we are building? Like what are the objectives that we are trying to meet? And based off of that, we can make informed decisions on how money needs to flow. An example of that is just simply like, if you have a big offer that you want to present to people, then we know off the gate what we are building is an enrollment event. Okay, that means more than likely, I want you to come into the room breaking even before you give your big offer on the stage, so that you know your profit margin is purely the sales that you get from whatever it is that you are inviting people into, right? But the money conversation has everything to do with your limiting beliefs around, are you going to stand in the fact that after I show you these numbers and I say your overhead costs for the room, for if you're gonna feed people, and I have feelings about that, stop trying to feed people at all your stuff, side note, like, and all of these things after I total all of this stuff up, right? and we divide it by the anticipated number of guests that you know you can bring in the room. Not that you hope to bring, but the number that you know that you can bring in the room, and you divide that for your per person cost. Are you able to stand in that and charge that ticket amount? If the answer is no, guess what? We need to cut these costs. And I think it takes having that real back and forth and really working that budget to say, hey, the goal is the goal, right? That is what I'm after. The hitting these objectives is more important than the shiny things in the room. And we need to talk about these dollars and cents, because I want to steward your dollars and cents well. If I do not steward your dollars and cents well, then it feels like a failure on my part, because I want you to succeed. But it's hard to, and it takes education, honestly, Ashley. It takes educating people on what are the costs, right? What does one experience look like versus another? And letting them know it is okay to start with a Ritz cracker. It is okay. Because honestly, if it is a Ritz cracker conversation right now, you may want to be in my like peer-to-peer mastermind group and get a one-to-many type of service offering from me. And I don't have to be your person where I'm like literally guiding you through the whole process, right? Like that may not be it. Or maybe you just might want to hit me up for a consult call, because I respect where you are in your journey and I don't want you to overextend yourself, right? Financially, and you're not in a position where you can sustain the any sunk costs or the risks that are associated with events. I mean, the pandemic is a perfect example. Nobody could have called, you know, no one could have called for that. And when every event and everything shut down, like those are difficult situations to walk people through. And it really did break a lot of businesses. So I think having the real conversation of what can I do? What are the costs that I, or what is the amount that I am able to put forward in upfront cost? What am I looking to recoup? How am I able to, you know, get a return on investment? And then how am I able to build in profit margin from, whether that be sponsorship, whether that be your enrollment event and your call to action? Like, these are all the things that people need to think about as they are building their budget. And stop being afraid of these numbers. Don't run from the numbers. Embrace the numbers and let that be your invitation and your permission slip to work within those bounds. Like, budgets are your friends, guys. Like, let's not run from them. They just give you a picture of the border that you get to work in. Shine in that area, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That is really good. This aspect of embracing the numbers, not being afraid to see it, and also too this direct connection of being very real as a process is going to say, here's where we are with this, with overhead. Here's where we are with this cost. Now, here's an interesting aspect, because I want to talk about, you know, how you have structured your business, and so you. It sounds like you have, from what I can tell, a couple of different, you know, things going on. You also have the event strategy and the planning, and then the aspect of where you're leading someone through strategy, vision, strategy, and execution from start to finish. Right. But then there's other aspects where if someone is not prepared for maybe that level of service. Yes. Talk to us about that peer-to-peer mastermind. How did you create those? What bubbled up for you to think of that?
Ashley, I thank you for asking that question. That has been such a journey, and it's still one that I'm walking through, because like you mentioned, from an event strategy perspective, we do a VIP day where we're able to map this out. And oftentimes it's for people who want to do multiple events in a year, right? So we can sit down, dedicate time. We can move quickly, lay everything out so that you know what your game plan is moving out on for the year. We also have full service where we are there holding your hand. You know, my team is walking alongside yours so that we're not burdening your existing team. And we're able to do everything from planning to strategy to the on-site management of the event. But what I noticed was in these groups and in these different, like my clients' organizations and communities that there were this unique group of people who are like, they have a powerful message. They want to do the things. They aspire to be like the person that they're maybe learning from, but they're not quite ready to jump out there and have an event. And it would really frustrate me a little bit because I would see some of these women predominantly in a lot of the same, like the same women in a lot of different groups. And I'm like, sis, you are still investing to continue to learn something and you're not taking the step out for yourself. Like, I want to see you step out. Like, I'm really big about get in the room and create your own. And people get stuck in the, I'm just going to get in the room.
Wow.
I'm just going to get in the room. I'm just going to get in the room. And I want I wanted to give people an opportunity to come together and feel seen, but also be and celebrated and be reminded like, hey, if it is your time to show up and shine, let me support you in this way. So the peer-to-peer mastermind is truly a group of brilliant women who come together and they truly celebrate one another. Because one of the things that I notice is people aren't ready to create their own room if they don't have the confidence to do it. So that peer-to-peer mastermind helps them to build their belief. Maybe it's there to help them launch. Like we had one of our members in the Select. Shout out to LaToya Matthews. She launched a book, right? So she put out her book. And all of the community came to the launch event, which I had the opportunity to plan for her. All of the community came to show up. Why is that significant in this peer-to-peer mastermind? Because oftentimes people are afraid to start because they don't think anyone's going to show up for them. So not only in the group are you able to like cultivate these ideas and bring them to fruition, you know that you have a community of people who will buy a plane ticket and show up for you when you are taking the stage. Or maybe they are like supporting one another on each other's platforms, whether that be podcasts or whatever. And like when one person has an event, so for the Select specifically, and in Epic Select, we have quarterly retreats that we do. I like to say, and this no secret now in the Select, but if you're hearing this, listen, you're getting the secret before you come in and join us. What I like to do is I like to see who's in that area that we're having the retreat. And then I will gently nudge you to have your event during the time frame that we have our quarterly retreat. Why is that, you might ask, Ashley? Because they are afraid. They don't know that how to do it by themselves. So I'm giving them the opportunity while we are already organizing something, while we're already maybe like, we can share the cost on some things, right? Let's dip your toe in so that you can get started. Because one of the things that I love about events is it helps you build authority in your industry. And people are afraid to take that first step. So in the peer-to-peer mastermind group, we hold your hand, we celebrate you, and we also encourage you to put out into the world that thing that you've been wanting to put out, and we're there right by your side to do this. So it's a unique way of planning. I like to say it started off with me just having this weird idea of like, how can I do something different in the events industry? How can I plan with community? Because typically you think of planning as a one-to-one thing, like my business is supporting your business. But what would it look like if my business could support multiple businesses at the same time and create community in a way that uplifts all of the individuals in it, and it truly be a rising tide? And that's what Epic Select is.
That is, this is good that I heard the background of this, because I read about it and I was like, but I love the fact that this community piece, but then listen, the fact that you say, okay, we're going to go to the city, and it's like, knock, knock. Hey, I heard you got something going on. Why don't you put something together?
Yes.
That is pretty brilliant, because I think what you are touching on, and this is where I think we got to get it, understand. I know I had to. When you are scoreboard watching intentionally and also unintentionally with brands, businesses, people within your space, and you say, wow, I wish I could do that, or that's not me.
Yeah.
you start to sort of create a narrative about what you can't do.
Yeah.
You touched on limiting beliefs before, but see, and here's the thing, like, you know, talking about, and I want you to touch on how your faith has really helped propel that. Yeah. And, you know, some of the other tools that you've used to unpack that, because I think what it comes down to for me is like identity.
Yes.
So knowing my identity in Christ, knowing that I'm a daughter of Christ, knowing that I am set apart, has me thinking very differently.
Yes.
Into the hows and the approaches and the thing, you know what I'm saying? Because you're absolutely right. The perspective that your Epic Select member has is going to be different from somebody else that is thousands of miles away.
Yes.
So why not be able to put something on? But yes, but take it away, Bree. I just wanted to kind of, I wanted you to hone in on that.
I think faith has been such a pivotal part. And I will say that we do have, when people apply to join the Select, I definitely have a clause in there to be like, hey, just so that you know, this is a group of women of faith. Because when I tell you, one of the biggest blessings that has come out of Epic Select is we'll be on a call and somebody just needs prayer and we will just pray. Like, forget the agenda. You are hurting right now.
Amen.
We are just going to pray.
Yes.
Because what we realize is for us to show up the way we need to for other people, we also need to find these safe spaces.
Yes.
and come together in faith and belief and just like pray on behalf of our sister who might be hurting, or celebrate her, right? And share in her joy. One of the things that makes Epic
That's
Select
right.
special to me is I heard a really powerful interview. And I'll have to give you her name. I know it was Carolyn. She had an interview on the Success Magazine podcast. And she had this whole talk where she talked about mm-hmm. women are really good at being there for one another when we are in like traumatic, low type of places. Like, we're really good at showing up with a meal train or a gift basket when somebody is low. But we are really bad at showing mm-hmm. up for women to be like, yes, you're a New York Times bestseller. Yes, you just started your business. Yes, you just got all these likes. Girl, you sent that email. I see you out there. You done sent an email every week for the last 4 weeks. We don't celebrate each other for those things. And that is because we have this lack mentality that we can't champion one another because it'll take away from us. But when sis is hurting, oh yes, I can run to her aid, right? That is a backwards and a selfish mentality that I hope to break. And I really think that it's going to come through the women in the Select, but it is wholeheartedly charged by our faith and our belief in God. Because what I've noticed about, you know, the different industries that I have the opportunity to serve is people go after the big names and the shiny and the things. And I think there's something to be said about the heart that I have towards those who, like, you not on the stage yet, sis, but you need somebody to pray for you and believe and hold space, right? And encourage
That's
you
right.
because you're doing things differently. You might be doing it at a slower pace. You might be a single mom who's figuring it out, and no, you're not going to be glamorous like the big name person right over here. Your journey's going to look different, and you need to know that there's a community that's willing to walk alongside you in that. Or you might have this brilliant process or framework and you want to be a speaker or an author. Well, guess what? Your journey might look a little bit differently because you're not tapping into all these other modalities that people are tapping into. You just going to stand on your faith, right? And when you give your talks or when you do your presentations or when you do, you know,
yes.
you get what I'm saying? And that looks different. And I wasn't seeing a space where people can come and comfortably sit in that, because, I mean, honestly, I didn't feel like I had that for my business as I was reshaping and refiguring out what made sense for my business. I had to be really intentional about stop listening to certain voices that will tell me to do something a certain type of way. Well, it didn't align with my faith. It didn't align with me wanting to have like a strong, healthy marriage relationship, right? Like I saw these things and I had to shut off
Amen.
These voices.
Yes.
And I think oftentimes we can't, it's hard for us to find spaces where you can get around a group of believers, and whether we're saying scripture or not, you know that we're like-hearted. And I think that's what more entrepreneurs and people need to hear, is that you need to find people who are like-hearted, people who, especially if you're a believer, have a heart towards Christ, and that is what they're going after, and they're, and allow them to come alongside you to celebrate you and to support you.
That's right. Yeah, that's it. That is it. And I think, you know, as we kind of round out, you know, the last couple of questions on this, you know, one of the things I do want to dive into is, because you've built some really cool things within your business, is there anything that you are blowing up? Anything that you are, you want to tear it down and build it back up in this particular season?
Yes, I am going to probably be blowing up my full service offerings, if I'm honest with you, in this season. And what that looks like is just being selective, Ashley. That's why I liked your question about blowing it up. Like, I'm blowing it up. I'm being more selective with who I serve from a full service aspect, because what I realized in this season, I have little ones. One is in kindergarten, one is in first grade, one is in fourth grade. And my middle baby came to me because, again, like I said, we're active duty family. She came to me when I was getting ready to go on another trip to serve an event. And she was like, well, I thought this was going to be the season where, like, we did stuff as a family. Like, it seems like daddy goes and it seems like you go. But, like, when are we all going to get to go? And I had to sit with that. And figure out, like, what does that mean for me? What does that look like for my business? One of the ways that that'll be blown up is just being really intentional about what I say yes to, and do those opportunities afford me the ability to bring maybe my family with me, right? Or is it something that is truly, like, getting back to business? Is it something that serves the personal side and the business side? Like, it just really has to make sense. So if there's anything, and if people can hear my heart on this, I am blowing up the thing that is the biggest margin in my business, because in this season I realize it has to look differently, so that when my kids are getting ready to leave the house, they still felt like they had a present mom. They still felt like they were there and a part of the journey. And they understood why I was doing what I was doing. And they were able to see the behind the scenes of things. I cannot devalue my time and what I am going away from. I love, there was a speaker who talks about, and he charges like an incredible speaker fee, right? We'll get there, Ashley. We're going to get there. He charges an incredible speaker fee. And the reason why he does that is, he says, you are paying me to leave my house. You are paying me to leave this wife and these kids.
Yes.
And the value that I put on this is high. And I think that is the attitude that I have as it relates to the people that I will be working with for full service. And again, not trying to scare anybody or anything like that. I believe that the right people who are going to work with me in that way will come. And I'm also content if that means that another area of my business, whether that be the peer-to-peer mastermind or how we serve people with our event strategy intensive and the VIP day, if that has opportunity to grow because of these decisions, I am surrendered and I am okay with that.
That is great. That is, that's good. That's good. People gotta, listen, this is the episode to play again, okay? Because this is an aspect where you have the power of choice to understand, like we talked about, that rhythm of life and all the different hats that you wear, understanding what is going to be required for this next season and making those adjustments, but also knowing that you are surrendering yourself, not just to your business, but you're surrendering yourself to the one who is going to guide you.
Yes.
And he's going to make sure that it all works out. My final question really is more so, what advice would you give people that are in this season of building from scratch, you know, what are, you know, one or two things that you would want people to keep in mind?
Yeah, I love this question. And I think the first thing that comes to mind and something that I am actively reminding myself is to just be prayerful around what are you building? What are you building and why are you building? And that what and that why really matters, because if you go back to, and if I go back to like the why, it's really easy for us to say that we're doing this for our families. It's really easy to say that we're doing it to build, you know, a financial legacy and all the things that we like to like sugarcoat and sprinkle things over. So it's like, okay, if that is truly the why and seeing these impacts in people's lives, like if that's truly the why, then I also need to be prayerful as to what gets me that result without hurting me, because I believe that, you know, God is going to give us things that add things to our lives that are meant to bless us, that are meant to be things that are good for us, right? And why would we put ourselves and build something that is going to hurt us? So just be really, really prayerful around why are you building the thing and what does that need to look like? And I just hope that anyone out there that is building or rebuilding, that you can be prayerful on those two things.
That is, okay, I'm writing that down. Okay, because that is profound. That's a perfect piece of advice. And so we end this episode really thankful for Bree, for you, for sharing your story, for sharing your insights. And I'm excited. We're going to have all of Bree's information in the show notes. I want you all to go and connect with her, to start a conversation with her, you know, look at kind of where you are, whether it comes to the event planning, the strategy, joining mastermind groups and whatnot, because I just believe that there is something special that will happen if you are committed and this is the right season for partnership with B. Carroll Events. And so, Bree, thank you so much. I just can't get enough of this. That's why we have to, you know, we'll have a part two, ladies and gentlemen.
I love it.
And that'll be at a different time.
Thank you.
This has just been exciting. Everyone, please be sure to share this episode with as many people as you can. And this is just another episode of Conversations with Ask Ash. This is the Built from Scratch season. And we will see you on the next episode. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Conversations with Ask Ash. Please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and follow Ashley on social media at Ashley_Schuler_. That's ASHLEYSHULER_.